cloud. All right. She said, don't be telling no story. You ain't recording. All right. So it's the older lumberjack and younger lumberjack. I'm saying this for the sake of recording now. And so the older one was kind of the champion and everything of chopping down trees. And this younger lumberjack wanted to come up and challenge him. And so he submitted to the challenge. He said, we could do this. And so they chopped down trees for the entire day, all day long. They're chopping down trees. And the younger lumberjack was just going at it. He just kept chopping all day long. No breaks, no nothing. Just chopping, chopping, chopping. The older lumberjack would chop for an hour. He would sit down for 15 minutes, take a break. And every hour he chopped, he would take a 15-minute break. He would just shut down, take a 15-minute break. By the end of the day, the older lumberjack had chopped down more trees than the younger one. The younger one had been chopping constantly, no breaks. The older one took a break. Every hour he took 15 minutes. So the younger lumberjack went over to him and he said, how was it that you chopped down more trees than me? And I kept working the whole time, even while you were resting. He said, well, what you didn't notice, he said, when I was resting for those 15 minutes, I was sharpening my axe. And so his rest made him more productive.
Right.
And that's what fasting does for us. It sharpens our spiritual axe and it makes us more productive. We don't even seem like we're doing much. But when he took that break, he was actually able to do more because his axe never got dull. And so that's what God wants us to do. I had one person laugh at that, but that was good. So anyway, that was...
I was on mute, but I laughed.
Okay. Oh yeah, it's on mute. Okay, you was on mute. I get it now. All right. So, but that's a great story to tell and relate it to fasting, because when we think about it, fasting is sharpening our axe, our spiritual axe, so that we can be more productive in terms of our spiritual lives. Now, we understand that fasting occurs when there is a break taken from eating, from consumption. We know that. We understand that. We're going to go into more of the purpose of fasting. We're going to break down a little bit more Isaiah 58. So we're going to go to Isaiah 58. We're going to break it down just a little bit more because we've read it over and over, but nuggets just keep popping out. And that's what happens when you read the word of God and you hear what God is saying. Nuggets just keep popping out. And so I get excited about just, you know, what God says in this process. So let's get going. So Isaiah 58, I'll start here at verse 1. And it says here, cry aloud, spare not. Lift your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek, inquire for, and require me daily and delight externally to know my ways, as if they were in reality a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask me of righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God in visible ways. Why have we fasted, they say, and you do not see it? Why have we afflicted ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, O Israel, on the day of your fast, when you should be grieving for your sins, you find profit in your business, and instead of stopping all work, as the law implies you and your workmen should do, you extort from your hired servants a full amount of labor. The facts, and this is the key verse here, verse 4. for tonight. This is the key verse. The facts are that you fast only for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Fasting as you do today will not cause your voice to be heard on high. Oh, that's the key right there. Fasting as you do today will not cause your voice to be heard on high. So I said, wait a minute. So fasting, if we fast the way God wants us to fast, that causes our voices to be heard on high. This is why fasting and praying together is a dynamic duo. Because fasting aids us in having our voices heard on high. That's my first point. Purpose of fasting is to cause our voices to be heard on high. Now, verse 5 says this in Isaiah 58. Is such a fast as yours what I have chosen? So now he's saying, you're not fasting the right way to get your voice heard on high. But then he says, this is the right way. This is the fast that I've chosen. A day for a man to do what? Humble himself. Okay? A day for a man to humble himself with sorrow in his soul. Is true fasting merely mechanical? Is it only to bow his head like a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him to indicate a condition of heart that he does not have? Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? So you see, there was an outward humility, but there was no inward humility. Okay? So the fast, another purpose of the fast is to humble yourselves, but it's to humble yourselves not in an outward way, outwardly way. That's what he's talking against, you know, is that you sitting here, you looking sorrowful, you looking meek, you looking tired, you looking low, you want people to look at you as and to notice that you're fasting. He's saying, that's not it. It's a humbling on the inside, not a humbling on the outside. It's a humbling on the inside that he's looking for. This is what God requires of us. That's why when we go back to 2 Chronicles 7:14, that humble ourselves and pray. We want our voices to be heard on high. So we have to humble ourselves. To properly humble yourself is to fast. Is to abstain, literally abstain from food. And as we talked about this passage earlier, to do the works that God has called us to do, to serve others while we're not feeding and serving ourselves. Okay, so that's why God begins to list all of these things that we should be doing as representative of a person who's fasting. Now, I need you to understand that as representative of a person who is fasting, these are the things that we should do. Okay? He's saying that you are fasting, but you're doing other stuff that I ain't called you to do. You're using the fast to benefit yourselves, the flesh, which is totally polar opposite of what the fast is supposed to be about. The fast is supposed to be about you taking your focus off of self, off of your own gratification, off of your own desire to be seen and to clothe and array yourself and adorn yourself. He said, that's not what it is. That's not what it's about. Okay. So, all right, y'all got that thus far? All right. You got that. All right. So that's important for us to know because when you are engaging in fasting, you should also just ask God to pave the pathway for you to do those things that he has called for you to do. Okay. So fasting, in essence, with everything I just said, fasting acknowledges our spiritual nature while diminishing our physical nature. Fasting acknowledges our spiritual nature while diminishing our physical nature. Now, there was a question before, I think it was on the afterglow, I think my mother brought up the question about the soul and afflicting our souls and humbling our souls and not, you know, seeing or ever having it taught where it's the soul that needs humbling. It's the soul that needs saving because the physical body will never be tamed by this, the spirit alone. Okay. The spirit is the spirit. Okay. So the spirit of God doesn't need no help. The body won't accept no help. The soul is the key battleground to determine what's going to happen with you, whether you're going to accept the help from the spirit or be in a state of denial and flow with the body. So we hear often the term body, mind, or spirit, or body, soul, spirit. Okay. I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. First Thessalonians 5:20. Now remember, in the New Testament, all the T books are together. All right. So 1 Thessalonians is the one that starts off in 1st, 2nd Timothy, and then Titus. So 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Did I say that right? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, notice that somebody can read that. Go ahead and read that. Somebody, if somebody can read 5:23.
This is the good news.
Okay, let's hear the good news, and then let's hear what it says, because I don't have the good news, and then I want to hear. Let's just hear what it says, and then I'll determine whether or not we need to go to another version as well.
Okay, it says, may the God who gives us peace make you holy in every way and keep you whole being, spirit, soul, and body, free from every fault at coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right. That's exactly what I want to hear. All right. So notice what she read. It's in a different order than what we normally hear that phrase being said. She said spirit, soul, and body. Okay. Normally we start with what? The body, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We start with the body. All right. So I know everybody else on mute, but I know y'all had the same answer. We start with the body. Mind, or the psuche, the mind, or that place where we make decisions, the soul, where I feel, where I think, my will, that's the mind. So whenever you think about mind, think of soul. That's why the battlefield of the mind, Joyce Meyer and pastor out in LA. I can't think of his name, but both of them wrote books about the battlefield of the mind. Okay. That's where the battlefield takes place. And so when we think about this battleground, that's the mind. That's where doubt and everything, but that's synonymous with the soul. Okay. So we say body, mind, spirit. Okay. Or body, soul, spirit. But here it switches the order and it says spirit, soul, body. Why is this important? Why is this significant? Because fasting goes along with this scripture, because fasting helps us to live from the inside out and not the outside in. Okay. So we live from the inside out when we go spirit, soul, body, instead of living from the outside in. We live from the inside out when we go spirit, soul, body, instead of living from the outside in of body, soul, spirit. Okay. So why am I saying this? Why is this important? Because Living from the inside out gives us the proper spiritual direction that we need instead of living from the outside in. Okay, let me explain a little further. When we fast, we discover that there's more to us than what we see. There's more to us than what we see when we fast. The soul is always in the middle. Notice that whichever way you say it, the soul is always in the middle. So you have, you say body, soul, spirit, spirit, soul, body. Okay. Why is the soul always in the middle? In the middle of it. The soul is always in the middle. Why is it in the middle? Because it's going to determine which way you're going to go. You're going to go way, the way of the body, or you're going to go the way of the spirit. It is that guiding place. That's why I said, when we talked that Sunday, I believe, in the afterglow, I said that the soul is what needs to be saved. If your soul ain't saved, then the body is going to do whatever it wants to do. Okay? You need your soul to be saved to control yourself. That's how you begin the process of trying to control. And when you're out of control, you got to say, soul, you saved. Now, come on. I need to get into the word to build my soul up. I need to get into prayer and fasting to build my soul up, to build my faith up. Because once again, certain demons ain't going out but by prayer and fasting. What was Jesus saying? Prayer and fasting builds up belief, because he said they couldn't cast them out because of unbelief. So unbelief starts in the soul. That is going to determine the route you're going to go. That's going to determine where you're going to go. Look at how we were made. Okay. And normally when we look at how we were made, we jump right away to the dust of the earth, right? Man was formed from the dust of the earth. You're starting with body. Okay. We want to start with spirit. Okay. God said, we're going to make one in our own image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We're going to make one in our own image. Okay. So we start, it's from a spirit that we started. It's the spirit that started us. Then he formulated the body. So here's the spirit creating, formulates a body, but there's no connection. So what did God do? He breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Soul, a living soul, free will, able to make decisions, but he became alive by virtue of God's spirit being in us. Once God's spirit got in us, now we can live from the inside out instead of the outside in. That's another important point for us to understand. Fasting helps us to live from the inside out. It helps us to get our order right, so we're not dependent on the body. That's why we submit the body. That's why we humble the body with fasting. It's to get the order right, so our body doesn't drive us. Now, not saying shouldn't be in shape, not saying shouldn't work out, all that stuff, shouldn't eat right. All that goes into the healthy place where the soul dwells. You want this place to be as healthy as possible, but there's a purpose behind it, because it is the temple of the living God. The temple should never be the main thing. Right? We made church buildings the main thing. Some people build great edifices. They look great. They look grand, but it's empty on the inside. Ain't no love going on. Folks fighting over where to sit. Folk cussing each other out after service. It's not the place to be. Well, when you got fasting as a priority in your life, there's certain things that I believe you're just not going to engage in, because your body will be under the submission of the spirit. and the guidance of the saved soul. Okay, so I know it's a little deep tonight, but this is such foundational stuff, and it really ain't that deep, but it's foundational stuff for us to have so that we can understand. Any questions or comments thus far before we move on to the next verse here?
Can you repeat what you said, submission of the spirit?
Can I repeat it?
Mm-hmm. That one part.
Yeah, I probably could.
Actually, my mama was asking about it.
Oh, you're going to put Sister Jackson out there like that. Okay, all right. That's I'll do it for Sister Jackson.
That part, she said submission of the spirit. That's all.
Fasting. No, and hopefully this is what I said. If not, it's recorded. So fasting, though, it puts the body under the submission of the spirit. That's what fasting does. So it causes us to submit to the spirit of God, and to tame the body so that we're not just out of control. So I believe if we engage in fasting on an ongoing basis, it helps to temper and control the body and put it under the subjection of the spirit of God. It helps us to get the order right. So I'm living now from the inside out. I'm living now spirit, soul, body. All right. Got it now.
Got
all right.
It.
Okay. All right. She said, yeah, that's enough, Pastor. All right. I got it. All right. So
I just want to make a comment.
Yes, sir.
You said about this, the spirit should be the number one thing, and the soul, and then the body. And if, like I say, if we got the spirit of the Lord in us, sometimes we will step out of bounds, but that soul is there as our guide. And when we step out of bounds, and we know we done something we shouldn't do, and because we got the spirit of the Lord in us, we can always go back and ask God for forgiveness. But we try to not to sin, but I know that old body and the flesh and all that stuff will cause us to sin sometimes. But we always can go back and say, I know I did wrong. I know I'm done wrong. I want to get back on course and get back in the right commission with God.
So let me say it this way. So the body will never do anything on its own. Okay. Everything emanates from a thought. Okay. That thought is then acted upon. This is what the enemy used against Eve. He had her to think. Okay. There was no bodily action. It was a thought first. Then the thought moves the body in a direction that the thought goes in. So the soul is the key place. It's the key component. Now, notice, and let me go back, and I'm going to answer the question this way. So the spirit of God created man. Man became a living soul when the breath of God, the nephesh is what it's called, the breath of God was placed inside of man. Man became a living soul, okay? So the soul was created saved. All right, you got that?
Yeah.
The soul was in its proper place, the way of thinking of man, his functions, his actions. The soul was driving that because he was in communion with God. He would walk with God in the garden. And remember, when he fell, God came and visited, and they hid from God, right? So there was a connection with God. He had, you know, Adam name all the animals, all this stuff. There was such a relationship because of the soul connection to the spirit, which moved the body in the right direction. Here comes the enemy. He then plants a seed of doubt into the mind or the soul of Eve. It pierces the soul and causes her to think a little bit more about why she's being kept from this particular fruit on this tree. And she allowed that thought. It said that she marinated over that thought, right? She thought about it. She focused on it. And then she moved towards eating it. It wasn't like he just held out the fruit. She took it and grabbed it and ate it. That would have been a bodily reaction. No, this was a pierced soul reaction. Okay, so the enemy was able to pierce the soul to get her to doubt what God has said. Okay, and so that is the battleground. So the body doesn't make us sin. It's thoughts in the mind, and the body carries out sin. That's already sin before it's seen in action. Remember, Jesus said, if you think of something, it's as if you've already done it, it's sin. Right? If you have a thought, that's a sinful thought. That's sin without you even doing it. So everything, the battleground is the soul. God wants your soul. The enemy wants your soul. Everything is right there. Okay? Because the body ain't going to never be saved. I said that before.
So is a man thinking, so is he, huh?
Ah! There you go. Now you're getting it. We that's what I'm saying, boy. Y'all you getting it. Now you can put different scriptures to that and get an understanding. You know? So the way you think, your thoughts will determine your actions, who you are. You hear motivational speakers say that all the time. Your thoughts determine your actions. That's God. That's Bible. That's scripture. You know, it's just packaged in a different way. Right, it's like, you know, it's like the government cheese, you know, it's just coming in plain, you know, black and white. All right, y'all know what I'm talking about. It may not say Velveeta on it, you know what I'm saying? We got the Velveeta, but they, you know, it's like they just take it and repackage it and put it in the government cheese package or whatever, you know, but we got the Velveeta. I don't even know what I'm talking about. Okay, so let's go on. Hopefully I answered your question.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. Anybody else? Sister Jackson, you okay back there? Any other questions? All right. See, I see the hand wave. I'm good. We ready to go. I don't know. Deacon Tony must have got slain in the spirit or something. I don't even see him no more. Once it got slain. All right. Praise be to God. Let's go to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verses 10 through 13. Let's look at Psalm 69, verses 10 through 13. If I can have somebody to read that, that would be absolutely great. Psalm 69, verses 10 through 13.
I'll read it. It's the New Living Translation.
Okay. All right. Let's go with that.
Okay. Psalm 69, verses 10 through 13. When I weep and fast, they scoff at me. When I dress in burlap to show sorrow, they make fun of me. I am the favorite topic of town gossip, and all the drunks sing about me. But I keep praying to you, Lord, hoping this time you will show me favor. In your unfailing love, O God, answer my prayer with your sure salvation.
Now, I'm glad you, and that was a good version to read that in. And it left out one word in that beginning, in the verse 10, it says, when I wept and humbled myself with fasting. When I wept and humbled myself. Did I miss that? Did it say that in yours? Okay, so it says humbled myself in fasting. Then they, you know, I was jeered at and humiliated. So they went off on him, right? Because he was weeping before the Lord. He humbled himself before the Lord in fasting. And they kept, you know, making fun of him. They kept jeering at him. Why are you doing that? This is what the enemy does. He doesn't want you to engage in this. But notice what he says in verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. So once again, there's a connection between prayer and fasting. prayer and fasting. Once again, we see it together. Okay. He's fasting. Then he says his prayers to God. So why is he fasting? Because he wants his voice to be heard on high. Then when his voice is, he believes his voice is going to be heard on high because of the fact that he's fasting. He's getting closer to God. He's getting more in relationship with God. He's pulling down or putting down the spirit, the carnal nature, the man nature, the physical nature. He's putting that down. He's humbling himself so that he can have his voice heard on high through prayer. Prayer and fasting, the dynamic duo. I cannot say that enough. I'm going to drill that into us. Somebody going to start a t-shirt business that just says prayer and fasting, dynamic duo. And it's going to sell billions of shirts. So just remember the tithe. All right. Remember where the source came from. I'll sue you for the copyright, and I'll get the money because this is being recorded. Amen. Glory be to God. So, all right. Praise be to God. Y'all know where y'all heard it first. But the dynamic duo, prayer and fasting, fasting and prayer. I cannot say that enough. David is saying here that the world felt like it was closing in on him. Things were rough. Folk going off on him, you know, jeering at him. He said, I made sackcloth my clothing. You know, I became a byword. He just really being scorned and talked about. Okay. So, but he's not going to glorify the flesh. Okay, he is focused on fasting, and he believes that God is going to hear his voice because he says, but as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. Oh, man, at an acceptable and opportune time, O God, in the multitude of your mercy, as Sister Nikita read in another version, and the abundance of your loving kindness, hear me. Hear me. He's just asking God to hear him. Because he's humbled himself with fasting. Let's go to Joel. Then we got one more and we'll be done. Joel or Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. I'm telling y'all, y'all going to be so equipped and so armed with just all this fasting, teaching and knowledge. You're going to start fasting and you're going to end up being 40 days in fasting. You're going to feel the power of the Lord just flowing through you. It's a beautiful thing. All right. So we can get to that point too as well. We can get to that point. Somebody say, well, I don't know about 40 days, Pastor. Well, you know, you never know where the Spirit of the Lord is going to take you, what he's going to do, because Jesus was led by the Spirit to go out and to fast 40 days and 40 nights to prepare him for ministry. And that's what I told the person today. The first thing after being baptized, he didn't have to be, it was symbolic, but the first thing after his baptism and God speaking, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, then he sends him out in the desert to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. That was his first assignment, was to fast. Why? Because there was a work that was getting ready to be done and he needed to be prayed up and fasted up in the flesh. He was in bodily form. This is God in bodily form. And he was saying, I needed to do this. So I don't know what we think when we act like we don't need to do it. You know, so anyway, I'm looking at that light behind Sister Deidre. It looked like almost like a cross back there. I'm just looking at that glow back there. Amen. All right. All right, so Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. Somebody lay their eyes on that and go for it. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. I may stop you while you're reading, but I'll just listen. I'll try to listen. Okay, go ahead.
I have it. Amplified. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You can go ahead, sister.
Okay. Amplified, Joel 12 through 15. 2. Therefore, also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart, with fasting, with...
Stop. All right. So he says, as she just read, Word of God says, therefore, also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart. How you going to do that? How you going to do that, Sister Deidre? Go ahead and pick up from there. How you going to do that?
With fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored.
My God. So he's saying that you need to restore your relationship with me. How do you do that? With fasting, with weeping, with mourning. What are we weeping about? Broken relationship with God. What are we mourning? I'm not as close to God as I need to be. So how do I get there? I fast. Oh, you see that? That gets you closer to God. Fasting, it brings back the relationship. How we miss this? How we not do this? How we not talk about this more? I thought it was just you know, maybe, you know, stand up in church and testifying on our New Year's Eve that would give me, no, fasting. You should be sad about the fact that you have a broken relationship with God. You should be weeping about there's a broken relationship with God. If you ain't feeling nothing, then something is going on in your soul that needs to be dealt with. How can you deal with it? Fast and break down this body, this physical nature, and give your saved soul the ability to have that restored relationship with God and with the spirit that he's placed in you.
Hey, Pastor, in the New King James, verse 13, it tells
you. We didn't ask about New King James, but that, okay. No, go ahead.
I had a point I wanted to make, Pastor.
Go ahead with the New King James, Deacon. Go ahead. All right.
It says, for you to rent your heart and not your garment. So, you know, normally you tear your garments. He said, no, you rent your heart.
Oh, so man.
Inside. Right, not the garments on the outside.
Inside out. Right. Woo! Right. Deacon, you go ahead and preach some more on that, Deacon. I appreciate you jumping in.
I know, Deacon, I hadn't got to that verse yet.
I'm sorry.
Right. Go ahead, Sister Deidre, finish, because since he interrupted us.
It was so good, he had to just go ahead. That's right, okay. I'm okay with that, Deacon.
Okay, all right. Go ahead, Sister Deidre. All right. You can start wherever you want to start.
I'm going to start on 13.
Okay.
Rend your heart and not your garments.
Okay. See? He just couldn't wait. It was too good. It was on the inside. It was like fire shut up in his bones. All right, sister, go ahead. We ain't going to stop you no more. Go ahead.
Rend your hearts and not your garments and return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. And he revokes his sentence of evil when his conditions are met.
Oh, when his conditions are met. Mm-hmm. Okay, I said I wasn't going to interrupt you no more. Go ahead.
Who knows but what he will turn. Revoke your sentence of evil and leave a blessing behind him, giving you the means with which to serve him. Even a cereal or meal offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Set apart a fast, a day of restraint and humility. Call a solemn assembly.
Okay, you can stop there because it goes into the gathering, the people and all that stuff. Did y'all hear what she just read? There's so much in there. Oh, my goodness. So all of this coming back to God, rending your hearts, you know, not your clothing, but your heart, and not your garments, return to me. You do that with fasting. And then he says in verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, set apart a fast, a day of restraint and humility, call a solemn assembly. So what does that mean? That means that we put ourselves in a position, and this is what we're going to do as a ministry. We're going to call a fast, a day. We're going to call a day. We're going to call a day of fast, a 24-hour period. Okay, that's going to be our first act because we're going to follow this scripture. Okay, We're going to get close. We want to get closer to God, but that's going to be our first act. A solemn assembly is to call all of the people of God who want to join us. It ain't about just ACC folk. If you save, you love the Lord, you want to join us on a solemn day of assembly. If you want to join us on a holy day of fasting so that we can have our voices to be heard on high, so that we can rend our hearts before God, so we can cry and weep before the Lord and be sorry for not following him and mean it and be sincere about it. Okay, so that's what we want to do. Call a solemn assembly. Bring the people together and fast, a day of restraint and humility. I think that's what we're going to call it, a day of restraint and humility. That's right there in the Amplified. All right. I know it doesn't say in other versions, but it says in the Amplified, and I like that. A day of restraint and humility. Whoo! I like that. That rings in my soul right there. We're going to restrain, and we're going to include social media. We're going to include, listen, we did a blackout for Black Lives Matter. Right? We did you put the black thing on the social media page, whatever, and just, you know, that's all you put out there that day. You ain't gonna do nothing. We're gonna do a day of restraint and humility for our hearts getting back right to God. That's what we're gonna do. All right. Which should be a cause for some weeping, some reflection, you know, on how we have wronged God. What can we do to get back into that relationship and the broken fellowship being restored, as it said in verse 12. Okay. So that's what we want. All right. Any questions or thoughts about that scripture? That's a good one there. All right. So Deidre said, that's a good one. All right. We're going to go. Yes. That's a good one there. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. That's some good reading there. All right. So now, let's go back to Isaiah 58, verse 6. Isaiah 58, verse 6. Let's go back there, and this is where we're in tonight. Isaiah 58, verse 6. All right. Whew. I like that Joel passage, though, because it talks about, so that it really shows us the purpose of fasting is really getting back into that relationship with God, which shows us that the body can't do that. You got to suppress the body in order for that to happen. You got to subject the body to the spirit in order for that to happen. Okay. So Isaiah 58 verse 6, if somebody can read that, please. Not in the spirit, out loud.
This is New King James.
All right.
Is this not the path that I have chosen to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo?
You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. I got a call all of a sudden.
Okay, all right.
To undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke.
Break every enslaving yoke, right, it says in the Amplified. Yeah. Oh, okay. So listen, fasting, and this is the last point I'm gonna make tonight about this. Fasting is what breaks every chain.
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. You got to understand something here. Okay. We've been asking God to do something that he's been waiting on us to do. I need you to understand that. I know it's a popular song. We ask God to break every chain. Break every chain. Hallelujah. That's what we ask him, break every chain. God's saying, you fast right? You engage in fasting in the right way? Oh, some chains gonna be broken. Some yokes gonna be broken. I'm telling you, God is calling his church. He's given us the tools already. It's not in a song. You can sing a song loud as you want to. You can play it all day long. It might make you feel good, but some chains still going to be dangling because some kind don't go out. You need that fasting to get the faith to break that chain. Okay. Samson in his last act broke the chains himself and killed more in his death than he did while he was living. So God is giving us the anointing through fasting to break every yoke, to break every chain. The key is all, it's been right there before us. It's been right here sitting in scripture waiting for us to engage in this and to pick it up so that, you know, you say, well, I got chains on me. I got to play this song. No, that song ain't going to get that chain off of you. Fasting will, though. Now, you fast and listen to that song and worship. You fast and worship, but you're not asking God to do it. You are going to actually do it through fasting. Okay? Now you can use that prayer for something else. Because you're using that prayer to ask God to do something that he said, you could do this. Ask me for something else. Because that's done if you do this. If you fast, then we can move on to something else besides you. Because everybody, every week, somebody, you know, you come up to the altar, I need a chain broken. And what we do, we lay hands on them, we try to break the chain. We ain't fasted none. We ain't prayed. And then they get right back in that same condition. I'm talking to myself now. I'm talking to things that I have done as a pastor where it, out of my ignorance, I did not truly understand. And I'm so glad that God, he blesses us even in our ignorance. You understand what I'm saying? So that's a beautiful thing when he blesses us in spite of ourselves, you know, in spite of what we've done. So even in what I didn't know, I was trying to do the right thing, but God is now showing us the thing that will help us to permanently break some chains that will never be put back together on us again. My God. Whoo. Now that ought to slay you in the spirit right there to just know that this and Isaiah 58, that's that passage, that whole thing, it shows us breakthrough. We're going to talk about breakthrough and fasting. It's right there in Isaiah 58. People say, I want a breakthrough. We sing songs about breakthrough, but ain't nobody fasting. We need to fast and sing songs about breakthrough. I'm not saying stop singing the songs. I'm saying when we couple fasting with this, If your device battery run out and you can't play that song, guess what? Breakthrough happening. You know what I'm saying? They may shut down your Apple iTunes account where you can't even load it up because you ain't paid the bill. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you can't depend on Apple to help you to break some chains. You know what I'm saying? And have your breakthrough. Because, you know, you need fast and then you ain't got to hear the music. You make your own song up then because God is doing something in you from the inside out. So we want to live from the inside out as we call for a day of restraint. And what is the other word? Restraining.
Mm-hmm. Humility.
And humility, right? Was that it? Okay.
Yes.
A day of restraint and humility.
And humility.
That's it. That's it. Y'all need. Yeah, I got to write that down because I got to make sure I remember that because that's what we're going to call based upon that scripture. Now, y'all can make a T-shirt out of that. You know, just, you know, make sure that once again, you know, that you bless the ministry with whatever proceeds you get. All right. Praise be to God. But a day of restraint and humility. And we're going to call it. We're going to do it. We ain't got to wait on COVID to go nowhere. We're going to do it. And I'm praying on the right time of the solemn assembly. I'm praying that it's going to kick it off. So see, I'm not judging anything by the calendar anymore. Okay. Some people say, well, it's been a great day to start, fasting today on Ash Wednesday. No, we're going to do it the time of the Lord. Calendar ain't got nothing to do with this. This is all spirit that we're going to go on now. All right. So it may coincide at times with the calendar. There's some things intentionally we will do according to the calendar. But this here, it's got to be spirit led. And that's why I've been doing some fasting in preparation for the timing and the solemn assembly. It's going to be a breakthrough. It ain't just going to be 10 folk doing it. Okay. But we will be calling upon everybody that we know to engage in this. And we will do a mass teaching right before we have those who are going to engage in this with us. We're going to do a mass teaching on the key principles so that we will know and understand, everybody will understand what we're doing. And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to fast 24 hours. I want you to get ready. 24 hours. We're going to do this. And it can be done. Okay. And if we start it at midnight, some of y'all don't stay up. So I start at midnight. You rest, get up, start your day, drink some water, stuff, get going. Take it all the way back around to midnight again. All right. That's what we're going to do. I know some of y'all say, well, I ain't going to be up. Take a nap and wake back up. It's just fine. As long as you ain't eating. So you can do that. You want to sleep during the fast? Sleep during the fast. Ain't nothing wrong. They don't say you got to just walk around and torture yourself, the whole day. You're supposed to rest anyway. So if you choose to read the word and rest and sleep, take a nap, get back up, rest, sleep, drink some liquids, that's fine. But we're going to do a 24-hour fast. That's doable. And we're going to do it. And we're going to call on each other. We're going to support each other in this. And that's why, we're not going to do this by ourselves starting off. Okay. We want to, partner up and have everybody connected with somebody. So you can call somebody and say, you hungry? Yeah, me too. But we can't break this.
Don't you eat that granola that rises in May.
Get that out the way now. All right. We're gonna make sure. But then we're gonna do another Detroit Cocoa Bar thing, and that may boost your sales up a little bit too as well, coming off the fast. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. I thank God for y'all tonight. I thank God for what he's doing, what he's saying through his word. We hit the 8 o'clock hour, and I just want to encourage you to continue to just rise above the clouds, do those things that are necessary to prepare yourself for this, but prayer, fasting allows our voices to be heard on high. It puts us in a position for us to, yes, humble ourselves, which is the key thing. But it also just, it gets us ready to deal with the ridicule that can come our way, as well as believers. And then it gets God's attention. It just gets his attention, and it breaks chains. Fasting will do that. All right. So anybody have any final comments and thoughts before we pray? All right. Pray for those who are not here tonight. I'm unable to make it. I said a few people are normal, regular people that I don't see tonight. We just want to keep them lifted up in prayer as well. And then we'll continue to move forward. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for the blessings of your grace and your mercy, your kindness, your peace. Lord, we pray that as we continue to move forward in this vein of fasting and prayer and worship and your word, that kindness and love and joy comes forth from this as we live from the inside out, spirit, soul, body. That our soul would be the key mechanism that connects our body to the spirit. Without the soul being in place and saved, there's a void between the body and you. For you are spirit, And so if there's a void there and there's no connection, then the soul begins to move the body in a direction of feelings and thoughts in the way of the world. But God, we here on this call tonight have saved souls. Yes, our souls have been pierced with doubt. Yes, our souls have been pierced with anguish, heartbreak. But these souls can be mended. And that mending can take place through fasting and weeping and crying out, mourning because of our loss of you, and bring us back closer together where we may truly be one with you. As Jesus prayed even for us, that we may be one as you and Jesus, as he was here on earth, were one. As that prayer was prayed in John chapter 17, I pray that prayer for us tonight, that we be one. That we be united in this course of walking in these four pillars of praying and fasting, worshiping, and reading your word. We love you and we give you praise. Bless us and protect us. Those who may be have heat challenges, Father, tonight and throughout this week, we pray that you would use us and use anybody you desire to help them. For we do not want to see people outdoors and struggling. Send us. Here we are. Send us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Love y'all.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Thank y'all for tonight. God bless you. All right, Sister Jackson, I'll see you. All right. All right. Y'all be blessed. Okay.
All right. You also.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.